Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't look back. Don't go back. Great victories are just ahead. Yea, I have begun a mighty work, saith God, in answer to the cry of my people. Look up, look up, look up, saith the Lord. Look not to the right, nor to the left. Yea, but look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. And yea, look up, for there is keeping power until that day. Look up, for I am mighty to save. Look up, look up, be encouraged, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve today. Brother Taylor, you're getting ready to come and sing for the offering. We'll get you set up here with our sound situation, and I will bring you a chair. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're so grateful today for your giving. Let me tell you what happened when people make commitments and how God honors those commitments. Before we bring you a word from the Lord that I can't wait to bring, because God is so gracious and God is so very good today. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we have that covenant in my office? It's here. It's right here. I'm not going to unroll it. But what they did for Pastor's Appreciation was make a commitment to serve God, to be committed to this work, this vision. God has given us a great opportunity here to serve Him. We're a few people, but we serve a mighty God and a big God and a gracious God. And He's given us this property, and He's given us this place, and He's given us here. Amen, as ministers, after this is our 36th, we're starting into our 37th year of pastoral ministry, getting ready to celebrate our 47th year of marriage. God has been good. And He's saving our kids like He promised He would after 30 years of intercession. What a mighty God that we serve. I think the devil just used that to try to hold back our faith and our vision sometimes, because we would keep declaring it and the devil keep defying it. We'd keep declaring it. The devil keep defying it. And years would pass, and pretty soon decades begin to pass. And the devil's still defying and us still declaring. But after a while, amen, somebody has to win this thing. And it won't be the devil that's defying if you keep declaring the faithfulness of God. Can you say amen? We didn't just declare Him saved. We declared God's faithfulness. There's a difference in just saying something till you think you can make it happen and saying something true about God from the Word of God. Amen. God is faithful, and He is proving that over and over again. So people were asked to make a commitment in their heart to share the vision, commitment to this ministry, commitment to the leadership of this ministry, and to the work of this church, this group of people. And people that felt they could do that signed a covenant to do that. Well, what happened was, when we make a commitment, God sees that and He honors that. So let me just tell you what happened. This very week, actually last week, all of the insurances come due, and that's big chunks out of our little purse. Amen. My wife has a big purse, but our treasury for the church is always, you know, the Lord, we pour out, He dips in, and that's how that works. It's always that blessed meal barrel, and it's been blessed for 36 years. But now, what I'm going to tell you, I want you to understand, it's the blessing that is more important than the amount or the material. You understand, as much as we need those things, it's the fact that God does it. God does it. That proves His favor is upon us, and He's with us. We're not manipulating. We're not marketing the gospel. God just knows when we have needs, and He wants to. But when people sign this, I believe the Lord saw the commitment of our hearts, mine and yours, and He took a step forward to say, okay, I'm going to bless you. If you're going to be faithful and you're going to commit to be faithful, I'm going to show you my faithfulness. God honors faithfulness that way, Brother Sean. So here comes all of the insurances due, and we kind of hate to see that time of year, because it just really dips into the meal barrel then, you know. And so we knew this big dip was coming, and so there was a certified letter came that, well, actually, it was a certified thing. It came in the mail. I had signed confirmation that I got it, and we opened it up, and there was a check, and we're always glad to see from without, not anybody in the congregation, but from without, that God has spoke to somebody and moved on somebody's heart to bless the church and the ministry. So Pamela opened it up first, as always, you know. I get to stay in the suspense, you know. And so she opened it up and looked at it, and she said, guess how much it is? I said, okay. I said, $100. And she said, okay. I said, okay, $500. Okay, I said, $1,000. $1,500. $2,000. And I said, oh, come on, honey. Just stop it. Just tell me. Don't play with me. Amen. And I want you to understand, it's not the amount. It's the fact that God spoke to somebody to bless us, somebody that's not a member here, but to contribute to this ministry. And when all was said and done, how much? $7,000. Amen. Hallelujah. Right when we needed the help. If I took up an offering this morning and everybody did their very best, I don't think we could probably do that. I mean, I'm speaking for me. I can't speak. If you could, well, the offering plate is coming, and we will. That'll help us even more. Can you say amen? But we, for what thrilled me is not the fact that we had this immediate help with our treasury. It's the fact that God, through that, is sending a great sign to us, and that is that He's in this, He's investing in this, because, honey, people don't do that without the Lord speaking to their heart. Amen?
That's right,
brother. How many know that? Can I get a better amen? God has to talk to people to do things like that. Amen. I didn't say twist their arm or anything, but He has to speak to somebody. They have to believe it's Him, and they have to listen and obey. And we're so grateful that happened to just give us further confirmation. Sean, I believe when we signed the covenant and showed God we mean business with you, we're committed to your work. We're committed to share a vision together and to work together to achieve it. Amen. I believe God stepped down and said, if you're serious about serving me right where you are, to commit yourself to me, to the leadership of the ministry, and to one another, I'm serious about blessing you and making sure the needs are met. So I believe this is just the beginning. I believe it's going to get better as this year goes on, because I do believe this is the year of the favor of the Lord. Can you say amen? Say it with me, the blessing of the Lord. And I don't want you to think about anything material when you say the rest of this scripture. The blessing, having God's favor. That's what causes meal barrels not to go empty. That's amen. What causes, amen, water to be turned to wine. That's what causes fish and loaves to be multiplied. Can you say amen? The blessing, being in a position before God where He can legitimately, authentically bless His people. Praise God, because we don't put anyone or anything above Him. We're not after the gold and silver. We're here hard after God. Can you say amen? But He's not going to let us do without, because He's a good heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. What a gracious God.
My mom told me I take care of my mom's bills. And she told me the other day, she said,
when I take
care
of my mom, start taking off
$100 off
the top. Yeah. Yeah. It's been barely make it. Yeah, she's made a commitment. Yeah, God is going to keep his promise. It's the commitment to the things of God. It's honoring Him with the first fruits. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven, and that's exactly what He's doing. We're making commitments here, not just of our money and materially, but of our hearts to God. And God is blessing us for it. And I'm so glad. Got my son saved. Got a blessing from the Lord that signals he's in this. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. Amen. Sean and everybody that prayed and said, let's make a covenant. I want you to know God is honoring the covenant. Praise God. Amen. And I'm expecting great things. Somebody just might finance us a building right over here. Amen. The next thing I might hear. Somebody that needs a tax shelter, tax write-off rather. Say, if I build a church there, I won't have to give it to Uncle Sam. Hallelujah. And God will bless me for it on top of that. So right. I'm expecting mighty things. My imagination runs wild. You know why my imagination runs wild? Because the Bible said He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. He said, anything you can imagine, you will never get it bigger than my capacity, amen, to move and to answer. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I like to kind of let my imagination, and it may not be God at all. He may do something entirely different. Most of the time he does. But however he wants to do it, he's begun it. And I'm not going to wait to see anymore to shout, I feel the abundance of rain. It's that little cloud like a man's hand after 3 years of drought. Convince the prophet, God is answering prayer. He's going to restore the blessing. Can you say amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we bless this offering. We are glad to give to your work today. We thank you. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you for answering our prayers. We're not buying these answers. Lord, we're bowing before you as our great King. That's why you're able to answer us when we believe you, and we thank you for it. Bless this congregation. Meet every need of every family here and every person here. Meet their needs abundantly until their cup runs over. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to sing a song to the glory of the Lord, but let me say this before I sing. It said there was a little boy in the woods, and he was kneeled down by a tree stump. He said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. And so a preacher heard him and said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying. He said, you were saying the ABCs. He said, yeah, but God knows how to put it all together.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad.
Hallelujah.
I'm so Woo! Glad God knows how to put it all together.
I am too, brother.
Hallelujah.
Glory
Thank you,
to
Jesus.
God.
The King of Glory looked down one day just to see man had wandered and all gone astray. So he gave up his kingdom, he gave up his throne, just to show a lost world the way back home. But instead of a mansion, they gave him a manger. But there was no room for him in the inn. Well, the King of Glory came seeking the lost, but instead of a crown, they gave him a cross. As he passed by, he gave the troubled sweet peace, the weary found rest, and the bound no relief. Well, the sick and the crippled,
yes,
the diseases he healed, the thirsty he gave a drink, and the hungry he filled. But with no royal welcome, they rejected. He came to his own, and they received him not. Well, the King of Glory came seeking the lost, but instead of a crown, they gave him a cross. But instead of a crown, they gave him a cross.
Yeah, they did. Thank you, Brother Taylor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said he became poor that we might become rich. People hear that word rich, and if you have a worldview and a world mindset, you think of money and wealth and gold and silver and fame and fortune. But the rich he's talking about is something that cannot be bought with silver and gold and all the wealth of the world. Amen? He became poor that we might become rich. I've heard that preached in the material sense. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible said if the kingdom of God is first in your life, your Father knows what you have need of. And it's His great delight, the Bible says, to meet your need. Amen? The Bible says that He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? He enjoys blessing people. Amen? He doesn't enjoy chastening or judging. The Bible said, I have no pleasure. Isn't that incredible? I don't get any joy or satisfaction out of punishing the wicked. Amen. Amen. He's a judge of all the earth. He's holy. He's obligated by His holiness. He cannot possibly look over sin. Amen. People have to repent for the sacrifice for sin to be applied to our life. But He takes no pleasure. He said, God said, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Can you say amen? That doesn't give me pleasure. Amen. But He does say what does give Him pleasure. The Bible said He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. When we live in a posture before Him that He can authentically bless us, He enjoys that. Amen. He enjoys that. How many of here have had children? I don't mean the men that you... Hey, amen. I was going to ask you, how was it? How'd you pull that off? Amen. How many in here have children? Not had children, but have children. Amen. That's a better way to put it. Did it give you pleasure to bless them? I mean, you know, when it was their birthday or something, you know they wanted something. I used to watch that over and over again. It's kind of become a Christmas classic about the little boy who wanted the BB gun. And he didn't think he was going to get it, but he wanted it more than anything else. And they kept telling him, you'll put your eye out, you'll put your eye out, you'll put your eye out. And he thought, it's all off. Even Santa Claus said, you'll put your eye out. I mean, when Santa tells you, you'll put your eye out, you just forget it. But he kept on, you know, just hoping maybe against hope. And after all the presents are opened, he's trying to make the best of not getting what he really wanted. And his daddy, amen, said, look over there, look over. And then his daddy gets all excited. And his daddy's so excited because he's going to bless his son. And he enjoys. And you can just see the dad becoming a child again for a little while. Just for a little while. The joy of opening a present and being blessed with something that you really, really want. Amen. And you can see the joy of both of them enjoying that blessing together. See the blessing of the Lord. His desire to bless us. It maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow with it. That means He wants you to enjoy the blessing. Can you say amen? You know, I love the Puritans because of their holy lives, but they took bad photographs. Amen. Amen. I mean, they had long hair, long sleeves, long dresses, and long faces. So at least they matched, they coordinated. Well, the long face part is the part that God wants to erase. Amen. There was joy in the camp when Israel was right with God. And when they heard of the law after coming out of Babylon in the book of Ezra, amen, and the book of Nehemiah, rather, chapter 8, amen, Ezra the high priest stood at a pulpit made of wood. The very first time a pulpit was mentioned in the Bible. He stood at a pulpit made of wood. Amen. At Watergate was mentioned way before the Watergate that you're thinking of, because it was near the Watergate. Amen. And he read from the law of the Lord, and they saw how far that they had drifted from God. And their heart was pricked, and they began to weep. Amen. And God didn't want them to weep. He wanted them to do what the weeping represented. It represented deep contrition and repentance. And when God saw that, amen, He told Ezra to tell him, don't weep. Stop your weeping. Amen. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many know there's a joy in sins forgiven? Hallelujah. There's a joy in being right with God. There's a joy in following Jesus. It's not a job. It's a joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. If it's a job, then you're following him for the wrong reason. But if it's a joy, you're following him for the right reason. Amen. Listen to the words of Christ himself for the joy, or the words about him for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross while despising the shame. God wanted so desperately, amen, to bless you and me with salvation. Amen. That Jesus looked beyond that cross and the shame and the pain and the agony. Amen. And for the joy of hearing your cry and my cry, and the joy of being able to forgive our sins because he paid our sin debt, for the joy that was set before him. Listen, if God didn't want to bless us, if he don't find pleasure in blessing us, amen, there would be no joy beyond the cross. But Jesus looked beyond the cross, beyond the suffering, and saw the joy of ushering tens of thousands of souls that would be lost forever into the kingdom of God to live in his heaven forever. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross while despising the shame. Hallelujah. I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. The Bible said that scoffers would literally come, Brother Taylor, in the last day, saying, where is the sign of his coming? They're proud and they're arrogant, and they're daring God to judge them. Scoffers will come in the last day. They're here right now, and they're not all out in the world. There's a large portion of the church that's doing the same thing, scoffing at the message of the soon coming of Jesus. They're not looking up anymore. They're looking at the plane of this world. They're looking at this world with a world view. Amen. Everything that they say out of their mouth is of the flesh and the material. Don't get me wrong. We need food. We need raiment. We need our bills paid. We need our bodies healed. But we need our souls saved. And we need our hearts set on things above. Can you say, man? We don't want this thing to tilt over to worldliness. My Bible said, they that are of the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is not just life, but it's peace. Can you say, man? When this world shakes, not just the tsunamis and the earthquakes, but when the economic systems of this world is shaking, it's almost like the earth shaking is a reflection of what's being shaken in the world and its economy, its structure. Everything is shaking. Everybody's looking for a savior. Did you know the whole political system out there is almost like grabbing at straws? Amen. We thought a man could save us, and we put a man in office as a nation. And now they say he can't save us. Let's find us another man or woman that can save us. And they're going to be looking for another candidate for a savior. Amen. Come on, we need nothing less than a savior. We can't figure all of this out. This thing's too far gone to just put a band-aid on it. Can you say, man, just throw money at it? We need God's blessing back in America. Can you say, man? Amen. We can't do without it. We're what we are because God blessed America. Amen? Do you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that righteousness, that's what got us where we are. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to anybody. There's no exception. There's no exemption. You just can't take the Ten Commandments and cover it up as if it's something distasteful and nasty. When they down in Alabama in a courthouse, amen, took a tarpaulin until they could get this granite representation of the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, they covered it up with a tarpaulin. The veterans out in the Midwest somewhere erected a cross where there's a cemetery, a big, huge cross. They lobbied, since it's on government soil, to have the cross removed, and the veterans are fighting it. If you go to Arlington, you see crosses everywhere. But they don't want the cross. And so they took plywood and made a box that would fit down over the cross until the legal battle was over. Cover the cross. Throw a tarpaulin over the Ten Commandments. Take a manger scene out of the town square. because someone may be offended because there are people of faith here that can't practice their faith publicly because it may offend someone. So by all means, Berkeley, you know, after 9/11 at Berkeley University in California, they put up a banner. Someone hung a banner in God, or God bless America, because, honey, without God blessing America, we stay vulnerable to these kind of things. Believe me, our military is not our great buffer and barrier against the enemy of America. But God, amen, standing up in our behalf has always been our barrier. Can you say, man, God's blessing is what's made this country great. And we must have that blessing in order for this country to survive what we're facing right now. They hung up a banner that said, God bless America. And immediately were told to take it down because someone may be offended. In a chapel on one of our major universities. A chapel. In a chapel, not out in the in where the education is being given by professors, but in a chapel where people go to pray. There was a Bible opened in a plexiglass case. They lobbied, they said, get that book out of the chapel. Now you have an unspecified God. Because someone may be offended by the Bible. If you think Christianity is not under fire, if you think there's not something about Jesus that upsets the whole world, amen, as we know it now, and particularly in America, I never believed I'd live to see the day that there would be such rage and outrage against a Bible that says, don't steal from your neighbor. Don't covet his wife. Don't commit adultery on your wife. Can you say amen? If you discovered the true and living God, then bow to no other. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A Bible that says love your enemies. Not kill them. Can you say amen? But love them. Pray for them. Do good to them that despitefully use you. They smite you on one side. Amen. Turn the other cheek. Don't hit them back. Don't seek vengeance. Vengeance belongs to God. Can you say amen? What is so intolerable about this kind of teaching? Amen. It's because within it is true salvation. Amen. The gods who are not gods cannot save. The gods who are no gods have no saving power. Listen to me carefully today. Amen. There is a spirit that the Bible said would be prevalent in the last days. And it's not the spirit of anti-God in the generic term sense or anti-religion. Amen. It is a specific spirit. Now the spirit, amen, the Bible said of Antichrist. Amen, doth already work. Jesus has always been the problem with the world religions and with the devil. Why? Because he can save us. He shed his blood. God accepted his blood sacrifice. How do you know, preacher? Because on the third day, he rose from the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He validated our faith. He verified the truth. Listen to me really carefully. We're in a real battle, but the battle is really not between us and them. The battle is between them and him. Can you say amen? The battle is between them and him. So I'm encouraged in the fact that this just goes to prove. Listen, you can't. If you're a Christian today, you're going to have to choose sides. Amen? You're going to have to make up your mind. Amen. There's this question that was asked ancient Israel of old. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Can you say amen? There are times when God literally draws a line in the sand. Amen. And says, who is on the Lord's side? And you have to make a decision and you have to make a choice. If you're concerned about being a men pleaser, you can never follow him. For the things that are highly esteemed among men, Christ taught, is an abomination to God. Amen. Listen, if you love the world and the things that are in it, I'm not talking about the earth that God made. I'm not talking about the beauty. Praise God. There are beautiful things here. Amen. We're not talking about the Grand Canyon. We're not talking about Niagara Falls. We're not talking about the beauty of the ocean. Amen. Or the beach. We're not talking about the beauty of the flowers. We're not talking about any of these good things that are not sinful that God has created and given here for us. We're talking about a system that's based on greed and avarice and self-exaltation, amen, and self-sufficiency. One of the greater sins in the Bible is self-sufficiency. We don't need God. We will not bow to Him. We will do it like Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. There's a very wicked way in man, and that is that he chooses to walk without consulting or acknowledging the God who made him. And that becomes the basis for so much rebellion and sin in our world today. Amen. But man is like the dust. Amen. God doesn't want to send judgment. He wants to forgive. He delights to do that. He loves to do that. He lives to do that. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out, and the emphasis wasn't on their talking in tongues and their spiritual gifts. The emphasis was on the God's grace that was going to be communicated through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were empowered to proclaim a gospel that proclaimed the mercy and the grace of a wonderful, loving God. And the Bible said that as the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make no mistake about it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was not so we could replicate blessings for ourselves, but go out and proclaim His goodness, His grace, and His mercy to a lost and dying world. Can you say amen? When Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, he didn't get up there to get another dose. He didn't wait around for a replication of that touch that God gave him, as wonderful as it was. He came down into the streets of the city and he proclaimed through Jesus Christ that you could be saved. And 3,000 people came to God, and it delighted the Lord and stirred the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Something wrong with having God in your heart, being blessed in your life, and wanting more blessings for yourself while the world around us perishes. There's something right when we say, Lord, you bless me. How can I be a blessing to others? Hallelujah. Then the Holy Ghost really gets involved. He really gets moving. I'm asking the Lord to let me be a soul winner this year. More than a preacher, more than preaching a sermon, let me be a soul winner. I've heard great messages. Let me be a soul winner. Pastor I meet with says, I can't remember what he said. I'll have to ask him. It'll come back to me. It was right on the tip of my tongue. If God wants it said, it'll come back to me. He said, people won't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And that's the truth. If we don't show them the love of God, they don't care how much we know. Amen? They won't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Yeah. Amen. Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, we represent a God who cares. We used to sing that song, Someone to Care, Someone to Share, all my burdens like no one can do. Amen. How many know that someone by name? It's His nature. Amen. When He saw the sick coming from every quarter, the Bible said He was moved with compassion. That's a strong word in the Greek. It means having the bowels to yearn over. It means in the deepest part of His innermost being, Jesus was identifying with the hurt and the pain that sin had brought to a fallen world. And He wasn't just moved with compassion, but He healed their sick. That's why when we pick up this little bottle up here, amen, and we do what the Bible said in James 5:14, if there be any sick among you, amen, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. This is not a Pentecostal pet practice. This is Scripture. This is part of holy written, holy canon. Can you say amen? This is just as verifiable and as valid as John 3:16. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God, amen, answers prayer. God loves to heal His people. God is a delivering God. Hallelujah. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. Can you say amen? He cares because He cares. Amen. Not just because He can, but because He cares. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love that song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. I have never found a friend so true. Oh, friend of mine, if you just understand how much He cares. Amen. Jesus tried to tell us, didn't He? He said, every hair on your head, the Father knows the number of it. Amen. Every single hair on your head, God is so personally concerned about you. He doesn't categorize us, lump us in with a big bunch. He works with us individually and personally. Nobody on this planet knows the hair of your head. And if they loved you enough, they would be too impatient to count them. Can you say amen? Now, there are a few of us that it wouldn't take as long as others, but having said that, praise God. Amen?
Amen.
God is that intimate with you. We think of this God sitting aloof in his heaven that somehow we have to get his attention. Jesus said it's not like that. The God who sits upon the throne in heaven, amen, is so involved with man in this fallen world and women that he knows the number of the hair on your head. Can you say amen? That, everybody say, that's intimate. That's up close. And that is personal. He must care a lot. Amen. The Bible said we don't have a high priest. Jesus intercedes for us. And the reason he's so good at it is not just because he was God incarnate and he has all faith and all power, but because he cares. Everybody say, because he cares. Amen. The Bible said, listen, we better take a text, hadn't we? Since we're on the subject of how much he cares for you, how about 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7? Casting all of your care on him because he cares for you. Can you say amen? Say it with me again. Casting all of your care upon him. Why? Because you have built your faith. You have been studying the Word. And now, no, you've been having a revelation through the Word of how much God really loves you and how much he cares for you. David said in the Old Testament, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have made it through. Because he came to a place in his life that he was really down in a deep valley. I tell you, it doesn't get much deeper than when your own son has committed himself to killing his daddy and taking his kingdom from him. And some of his best friends had sided with his son to fight with him against David to take his kingdom and kill his daddy. You think you got trouble? You think all he did was kill that giant without? No, he had a giant of discouragement within that he had to contend with. And believe me, that giant without went down a lot quicker than the giant of discouragement within. Actually, the giant without is a piece of cake. The giant within, David wrestled with that. He came to a place that he said, he stated all of his troubles. He said, and no man cared for my soul. Nobody cared what happened to David. Amen. There was nobody to stand with me, to stand beside me. But then he would cry out to the Lord. He knew God cared. Can you say amen? And it became the foundation for his great faith to get him through things that he could have never got through if he doubted for one minute that God really cared about him. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Why? Because he what? He what? He what? He cares. He cares. Don't let the devil ever tell you that God has abandoned you, forgotten you, and he doesn't care. Amen. He does care. Anybody that would send his son to die for you, amen, values you greatly. Amen. That Jesus would hang on that cross for you proves how much God cares. The cross screams how much God cares for you. Can you say amen? He cares for you. Psalm 37 says, I believe 37:5. I'll have to look it up, but anyway, it says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men put, therefore, because of this, the sons of men put their trust, where? In the shadow of thy wings. How did God relate to Jerusalem? He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have lifted my wings and taken you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks? It thunders and those little chicks run to mama. Amen.
Amen.
We have problems in our life and we run to God.
Yes.
I make no apology. Can you say amen? I do not want to be the Marlboro man. In that I'm talking about the He-Man, you know, this guy with it all together. No, I want to be the person who makes the Lord my portion. The person who declares that He is my shield and He is my buckler. Hallelujah. I need help that comes from God. I don't need it from a bottle. I don't need it from a needle. I don't need it from a rolled up Mary Jane cigarette. And that's not candy, by the way. Can you say amen? I don't need it from Mellow Yellow. I don't need it from alcohol. I don't need it from a psychedelic drug, praise God. I need help that comes from God. Hallelujah. Amen. I make no apology for depending on Him. He's kept me, delivered me from leukemia, healed me, helped me. Amen. Met every need of my life for 63 years. Hallelujah. Amen. Proved Himself over and over and over. And when I fell down, He picked me up. Convinced that He cares for me. David said, I love the Lord because He cares for me. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. Why does He hear my voice? Because He cares about me. He cares. Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Can you say, man, all your cares. I want to read this from the Amplified. Listen to it. Casting all of your care. The whole of your anxiety. See, sometimes we forget that part. The worry part. We're going to give Him our kids, but we're going to worry about them. But if you're still worried about them, what's the point of giving them to Him? Because you still got them. The safest place is not your anxiety.
Amen.
It's His faithfulness. If I had worried for 30 years about my son, I'd be down here in the county hospital, raving mad. They'd have me on Prozac, Valium, Ativan, Minivan, everything they could get me. Can you say amen? Amen. I went through nervous exhaustion. I know what not casting all of your anxiety on Him can do. Amen. I've been there. I've been in that valley. Amen. I worried myself sick and got sick. And stayed sick until God could teach me how to commit things to Him.
Amen.
Do you know there's a scripture that says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Before you try to use your faith, you got to commit your way unto the Lord. What is my way? It's everything. Can you say, man, everything, your kids, your job, your finances, your body, how long you're going to live, when you're going to die, where you're going to, well, all of it, commit your way unto the Lord. And when you get it committed to Him, trust Him with it. Trust also in Him. Don't give it to Him and take it back. Can you say amen? Listen to this song. Anybody ever heard it? I can see people that come in with your burdens. I'm not chiding you, condemning you. But the Bible, this is a beautiful biblical concept and song. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will. You reckon? You reckon? I left my son in His hands for 3 decades. But He brought him out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I had worried for 30 years and not got any sleep and doubted God and give up on God and give up on Him and said, how can I preach every Sunday with this hanging over me? Sometimes the devil stand in my face and say, how can you get up and preach faith and intercession and what God can do and you can't get this prayer answered? And I thought, it's not over yet. I kept telling him, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Come on, this fight ain't over. Amen. I'm not throwing in no towel. Praise God. I've been hit a bunch of times. I've been cut. But I got a corner man called the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? He's closed my cuts, healed my wounds, put ice on my black eye, straightened out my broken nose. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He's even smoothed out my cauliflower ears. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been in a fight with the devil from day one.
Oh boy.
I remember my son calling me in early on, over 20-something years ago from South Florida Baptist Hospital. He was drinking hard liquor at that time. and he was taking aspirin for something else, and the aspirin and the whiskey together, he started bleeding internally. He was passing blood. He was spitting up blood. He went to the emergency room, and they said somewhere on the inside of him, he is hemorrhaging. And that when he called me, amen, he was in the emergency room. And they were going to try to go down his throat and find out where the blood was coming from. You know what they did when they, what he did when they went out of the room? Amen. He left the hospital. Amen. He went out on his own, bleeding internally. The devil came to me and he screamed at me. And he said, I'm going to destroy your son tonight. He's going to bleed to death in his car somewhere. And I'm going to take his soul while I'm at it. Amen. I couldn't stand up. Weakness came all over me. Amen. I was going through nervous exhaustion at the time anyway. Amen. And I fell to my knees. I just crumpled. I remember handing the phone off to my wife. Amen. And I felt what David felt when he stood and looked over the Mediterranean Sea. And he said, amen, to God. And he cried out. And he said, whom have I in heaven but you? And whom have I on earth but you? Can you say amen? Who can comfort you at a time like this? Who can you trust in at a time like this? When I don't even know where he is, I can't go to him. And medical help can't help him. What can we do at a time like this? What I didn't realize was I was in the exact position to do what needed to be done. When my legs buckled, when they crumpled, when down on my knees and on my face before God, I cried out the prayer of David, whom have I in heaven but you? Whom have I on earth but you? And where can I go from your spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, you're there. Hallelujah. If I make my bed in hell, even there your hand shall uphold me. Since there's nowhere where God isn't, God can go where my son is. God, I give him to you. I give him to you. Devil, you can't have him. I'm his daddy and I got some rights of intercession. Can you say, man, how many know as a priest of you? You know, we're a kingdom of what? Priests and kings. And I don't mean according to this world structure and system. I'm not talking about the CEOs or the CFOs of this world. Can you say amen? Central financial officers or central executive officers? No, it's not in this kingdom where you rule and reign. It's another kingdom. I'm telling you, the CEO of Microsoft, amen, couldn't buy what God did for my son that night and what he did just about a couple of weeks ago. Can you say, man, Bill Gates can't buy that with $50 billion of personal wealth, but through the blood of Jesus, it's already been bought for us and paid for at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. They that are of the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'd rather have my son saved than a brand new. I was behind a car. It was for sale. And it looked like a brand new BMW. And I know what's happened. Amen. There's a big payment. If you lease that sucker, you're going to have to put $5,000 up front. And you're going to have to pay $500 a month. Or more. Depending on the model you get, could be one of the big models. That's just for the base model. Somebody can't meet them payments. They got a sign in the window. It's for sale. Can you say amen? I was driving behind it, and I thought, you can just hang on to that bad boy. I didn't get in this to get a new Mercedes-Benz or a new BMW. I got in this to see what's happening. I got in this to see souls saved. I got in this to see my family saved. Sealed with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? God knows I need a ride. How many know God knows you need a ride? Amen. He'll provide for you a ride. Amen. I actually believe he'll give you something we don't have to push off every Sunday too. But whether it's a brand new status car. I've always been intrigued by people who drive a Land Rover. Only time I ever saw Land Rovers was on a safari in Africa. Not me being there, but I saw them, you know, going to these places. Yeah. Amen. Now I see them going to the golf course and the grocery store. And it's okay if you've got a Land Rover, more power to you. Amen. God bless your heart. You must be a big tither if you can drive that. Amen. Listen to me. I didn't get in it for all of that. And because I didn't, God's taking good care of me. Amen. And he's provided very wonderfully for me. And you know what he's provided me beyond the material? He's provided me a heart content with what I have. Which makes me richer than some people that seem to have everything. Because everything ain't making them happy. They're not happy with the woman they got. They married this woman that looks like, you know, she's just, dear Lord in heaven. Not the woman, but you know what I mean. She just looks so beautiful. And this guy, he's so beautiful. And they're just this beautiful couple. And Hollywood looks at them and gets their pictures. Amen. That they're such a beautiful couple. Amen. And very few of them ever find satisfaction in each other or in their fortune or their fame or their life. Listen, the suicide rate is up and climbing. Amen. It's not climbing among people that are in bad circumstances, but people that you have to scratch your head and say they have so much going for them. Amen. They have so much going for them. What is wrong? Amen. Man is trying to fill a hole within him with the things of this world to fill up that bottomless pit that only God can fill. Can you say amen? And he keeps looking for something to put in that hole. Spends his life trying to find something to fill up that gaping hole inside. And the devil lies and says fame will do it, but it doesn't. Riches will do it, but it doesn't. Drugs will do it, but it won't. You see beautiful young men and women taking the devil up on his deals, dying way before their time. They get such a complex about weight, amen, that they get so skinny their resistance is down. They get a cold and it takes them out of this world. Amen? Honestly. Because the world, you have to look a certain way, have a certain amount of money, live in a certain house, drive a certain car to say you are worth anything. I'm so glad that God gives us value. Hallelujah. We don't have to look to the world for acceptance. Amen. We have a God that knows us and cares about us and loves us individually enough to give us his only begotten son. We don't have to prove ourselves spiritually either. You don't have to get visions and dreams every other week. Don't ever try to impress me with your spirituality. Be content with such things as you have. For godliness with contentment is great gain. Can you say amen? Or true riches. The Bible said we brought nothing into this world. How many know that's true? How many remember how you were born? Amen. Didn't come out with a diamond watch or ring or Stacy Adams shoes. Can you say amen? Air Jordans or whatever. That was way back. I'm dating myself. I don't know what's cool now. Amen. Who that? Born naked? Butt naked. You know, they tell me that when kids are born now, all of them don't need smacking. Because some of them are already breathing. They smack them. She didn't need smacking. Well, most doctors smack them anyway. As soon as they come out, they hold them up and smack them. Wah! Amen. Not because they're not breathing all the time, but just give them an idea of what to expect in this life. And you say, you might as well get used to it. This world going to smack you. Amen. Amen. In this world, Christ said, what's going to happen? In a fallen world, with an enemy, in this world, you shall have phelpsis, tribulation, pressure, and anguish. Say pressure and anguish. Now, that's guaranteed in a fallen world, with an enemy like the devil, in a faulty body. I mean, no, you're not glorified yet. A few of you know that. It's sinking in. Amen. A few of you get it. In this world, you shall have phelpsis, tribulation, anguish, and pressure. It's going to be brought to all of our life. If I lose a loved one, it's going to break my heart. I'm going to feel the anguish. If a friend that I've known for years quits me, and it not only quits you, they generally don't just quit you and forget you. They turn against you and want to hurt you. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why people want to be vindictive. Just, you know, can't we just all get along? Somebody said, with the saints above, won't that be glory? With the saints below, now that's a different story. Amen? And it breaks hearts, but not, we signed a covenant. God watched you. I'm not even going to look at it because God done seen it. I'm never going to unroll it. I don't want to know who signed, who didn't, because God's doing that. Amen? Amen? I'll never bring it out and open it up and say, you signed the covenant. Amen? My wife's been with me for 47 years coming up. And I'd never had to go in there and search through that little metal box and pull out our marriage certificate and say, you signed the covenant. You unpack them bags right now. You signed the covenant. He had, well, I don't want to even go there. Let's don't even go there. We're still praying for him. I know the Lord working. 34 years ago. Throw him in the bag. Yeah. He didn't bring you the covenant, did he? No, he didn't bring you the covenant. I couldn't keep her with the covenant. I got to pray that she loves me enough to look over my faults and my failures, to accept my apologies, amen, to stay committed in her heart. Because I really don't think if she doesn't do that, that I can grab that piece of paper and hold it up. And I'm going to tell you something else I can't even. Listen, if she really wants to quit me, this is a Bible. And we all know that it's not enough anymore. Come on. When the heart gets wrong, this don't help anymore. There was a time when this was the final authority. It isn't anymore. From the pulpit to the pew. Amen. But the covenant we made is still sacred. God says, I am looking at a covenant you made. And I'm dead serious about it. You can play games with it all you want to. Claim blessings all you want to. You say, well, why is it that so-and-so is blessed? Are they really? Who's blessing them? Cards and letters are blessing. I got a letter the other day. I don't even go into it. I read it before I put it in the garbage. And I wish I'd put it in the garbage before I read it. Amen. Twisted the scripture. Made me want to just. Made me. And I don't even want to go there. It gets so silly. What people are doing, the out of context stuff they're taking, missing the spiritual point altogether because they're worldly minded, amen, and they covet the gold and silver of this world. And that's all they can think about and all they can talk about. And that's all they can see when they open this book is the material part of this. They can't see, amen, the blood of Jesus anymore, how precious and powerful it is. Can you say, amen? Oh, friend of mine, I'm so glad to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad to know what this is really all about. And I'm glad to know, praise God, amen, that all of the blessings of this, you know, that God loves to bless me. But I don't have to seek that to get the blessing. I just have to put his kingdom first. I have to be happy with what I have and be grateful. Oh, a thankful heart right where you are, a blooming where you're planted, a thanking him. Some of you are carrying your children. If I carried my son like you're carrying your children, I wouldn't be your pastor. I wouldn't be in this pulpit. Amen. I wouldn't have stood in the gap and made up the hedge. I would have broken down and fell apart. And my breaking down and my falling apart can't save him or anybody else. But my committing him to God, amen, can make a difference not only in him, but it can sustain me while interceding for him. Casting all of your care. But my kids are out there and they're in this mess. Well, that's your care. If you keep them, you're not casting all of it on him. God don't want you laying awake at night getting sick in your body and mind. God wants you to trust him. Commit your way unto him. Trust also in him. Listen, he loves them more than you do. Oh, yes, he does. And he's working on their testimony. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. You know why? Because my son said, if, and this is not a deal with God one way or the other, if God lets me live, I want to testify. I want to tell other people what he's done for me, that they can be free. He said it was right in front of me all the time, but I couldn't see it for almost 30 years, but it was right in front of me all the time. And I want to tell them, just because you can't see it, don't mean it's not there. Your freedom is close to you. Jesus can set you free. Amen. And it's right there in front of you. Praise God. The devil don't want you to see it, but God does. And wouldn't it be wonderful if God just happened to use my son to see others set free? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let him. But one thing is for sure. The devil is defeated. Jesus is exalted. Hallelujah. So I didn't get in it for the car. God gives me a car. Seems like when I need it, something. Amen. And it gets me where I need to go. But I didn't get it for status. I got it to get me to the hospital, to get me to the cemetery, to get me to church, to get me where I need to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it gets me there. And I pull it up beside anybody's ride. And I don't compete. Because I don't know where they are in God. All I can see is that machine sitting there. Can you say amen? But I know my relationship with the Lord. Amen. And I know, praise God, that he hears when I pray. And that is worth more to me than gold and silver and fortune and fame. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my cry. Turning his ear always to me. This is what David knew about his God, by the way God moved when David prayed. Amen. Literally, it says in the Hebrew, I love the Lord because he turns his ear always to me. Literally in the Hebrew, it's this. He bends down and listens when I pray. I've got a fan here. I've got a groupie. And I don't try to get them, but I permit it until people are old enough to know better. And it's none of you, by the way. None of you are my fans and groupies. You're just good sheep. Amen. Everybody say, we good sheep. Look at somebody and say, you're a good sheep. We have to remind each other occasionally that we're actually sheep, amen, but we are okay. I know you're good sheep because I asked somebody the other day, how you doing? They said, bad. I knew that's a good sheep. To still trust in God, bad or good. Listen to me. When Kayla used to put me right up there with SpongeBob. Amen. That's a fan. Kayla, she's a miracle baby. Amen. Not only that, she was miraculously healed after she got here. And I've watching her grow up, and I've got a fan in Kayla, Doug and Sherry's daughter. She's one of my fans. I mean, she likes to watch SpongeBob, and she likes to watch a tape of me on television. You know what my name is to her? Hallelujah. My name is Hallelujah. First thing she knew me by was what I said all the time. Hallelujah. She says, that's hallelujah. They run some old tape on television. She said, there's hallelujah. Amen. I'm right up there with SpongeBob. Right up there with the Wiggles. Amen. I'm right up there with the big purple dinosaur. Can you say amen? Right up there with the dinosaur. It is Bob. Yeah. And I don't sponge off of people, so I'm not SpongeBob either. Amen? I have made it to the top. Listen to me. But when she comes up to talk to me, I can treat her like an insignificant child, and I got all these adults to deal with. Or I can give her significance. I can stop, and when she brings me something or says something, I can stop even if I'm standing with an adult. And look down at her because I want her to know she is significant, that God loves her, that I love her. And what do I do when she comes up? You watch me. I bend down to listen because I care. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Just one of his sheep. When I cry to him, when I pray to him, here's how he responds to me. God is invisible, but David knew the way God came through again and again. He knew God cared about David. That's one thing he didn't doubt, that God cared. Even when he was wrong with God, God still cared what happened to David. Can you say amen? He said he bends down. Amen. Are you praying to a God, listen, who is aloof in his heaven? Are you praying to a God that you know cares for you? That you don't have to have great faith because you have already have great favor. with him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You don't have to get his ear because you already have his heart. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? My God, he said, bends down. No wonder David was able to weather those storms. He said, no matter what happens, I know he cares for me. He bends down and listens when I pray. And he was so absolutely convinced of that. Praise God. Yeah, he said, I was young. And now I'm old. I've been through life and all the life experiences, the good, bad, and the ugly. I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God cares, so God forgives. God cares, so God restores. God cares, amen, so God delivers. God cares, so God answers prayer. Can you say amen? Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Let me read it again from the Amplified. Casting all your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon him. For he cares for you and watches over you affectionately. Everybody say affectionately. See, there is a covenant. This word of God is the covenant. But it's a love covenant. It's more than a legal contract that God has obligated himself to. I watch over my word to perform it. Amen. It's more than that. He does that because he set his love upon us. He cares for us. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Can you say amen? Oh, the peace we often forfeit. Oh, the needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. How dare us carry what he asks us to give him. How dare us, through our own anxiety, declare him to be untrustworthy? You got to see it as a sin to ever stop it. If you don't see it as a sin, you won't quit worrying. Come on, church. If you don't see it as a sin, you're going to keep right on worrying. And you're going to make yourself sick. And you're not going to help your kids. You're not going to help the people you love. You're not going to help change anything. It's going to change you, but it isn't going to change them or their circumstances. How many know your anxiety won't save anybody? It won't save your kids. Your concern. If you're concerned enough to give them to God, that can make a difference. But if you just worry yourself sick, that's all you've done is made yourself sick. After a while, you won't even be able to intercede effectively. You won't be able to stand in the gap. Your hands will come down out of discouragement. Satan will deceive you. Listen, if I didn't give my son to God that night, as sick as I was in my nerves already, it would have been the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. It would have broken me. I would have quit the ministry. I'd probably give up on God. I'd have quit interceding. I'd have just got sick. Literally, it almost killed me. The care of the churches and the care of my personal family thing just about killed me. You know what chokes the word? How important is casting your care on him once and for all? You know what chokes the word? And your people of the word, pupils of the word, are supposed to be 30, 60, and 100 fold because of our exposure to the word. But you know what chokes it? The cares of this life. Does what? Chokes the word and causes it. Cares of this life, in some people, not necessarily you, the deceitfulness of riches, going after that that can't change anything instead of him who can change everything. Silver and gold couldn't deliver my son. Jesus can, and he did. Amen? I'm glad I was after him instead of following them who are after what the world has. Because what God's done for me, the world can't touch. Amen. With all of its wealth and riches and fame and fortunes, ingenuity and intelligence, what God does through the anointing still breaks yokes. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. Casting your care upon him, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon him. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and other things entering in, choke the word. And cause it to become unfruitful. Satan knows what would happen. You know, one of the fruits of the word or product of receiving God's word in a good ground heart is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you finally trust God with it, which represents faith, you come out from under the burden. God is released to move, for it's not by might nor power, it's by His Spirit. Amen? Amen? We hadn't discovered some keys to this down through the years. Does that mean you were never upset, you were never disappointed, never discouraged? No, I went through all of those emotional things. But I would always go right back to committing Him to God. Some of you have never truly committed what is bothering you to the Lord. It's not as simple as the t-shirt, is it? Big green frog on a t-shirt. Big fat green frog. The guy wearing the t-shirt must have really felt this sentiment, because he said, "I wish I was a frog so I could eat what bugs me." It's not that simple, is it? Because this flesh and our mind and our emotions don't want to turn loose of things precious to us and trust God with it. But honey, if you can't trust God with it, who can you trust? The greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is get out from under that. You say, "Well, how can I be happy when this thing is unresolved?" Because God's got it, darling. We talk about a mighty God. We snort and holler and stomp about how mighty our God is till it comes time not to worry. Amen? 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 Till it comes time not to worry. Listen to this. Let me run a scripture by you. In all things, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Everything. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will do what? He will let you down, disappoint you. If you don't walk the floor and cry half the night and get sick with worry, then that just ties the hands of God. If you don't see it as a sin, you won't quit it. Sometimes it takes something that strong to get us to really deal with it, because we feel like that it's necessary to show how much we care. No, if you really care, give it to God. I care about this church, but I don't carry this church. Oh, don't you care if you're there? Certainly I do. Don't you care about what happens to the people? Absolutely. But I don't carry you. This is God's church. Amen. I'm an under-shepherd. I'm a bell sheep. Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? Amen. I graze with you. I get chastened with you. I get challenged with you. Amen? I'm part of the flock. I'm one of the sheep that He's chosen to follow Him real close, so you can follow me as I follow Him. But I'm not on a pedestal, and I put my pants on one leg at a time. Amen? For you men, I mean, you know, that's how I do it. Mr. Obama does it the same way. Can you? Isn't that incredible? We both get up in the morning, put them on one leg at a time. Amen. I've never seen anybody jump up and jump in them. Amen? We're all on a level playing field. We're human beings. You know, Mr. Obama's so good at handling stress and pressure and always so professional, they call him Obama No Drama on the news today. Obama No Drama. He can take it and he can maintain his cool. Boy, if I was up there, you talk about drama. Dear Lord in heaven, I would have some drama going on. Amen. They're writing all that bad stuff. I'm not being political here, Dan. I'm just saying whoever's in that seat is the hot seat. Amen. Whoever's in this seat's in the hot seat. Amen. I wish I could say no drama, but I've had drama. But I've just, listen, commit thy way unto the Lord. My success or failure, my life or everything, it's in God's hands. There's a sovereign God that I can give it to that cares for me. The reason I can trust Him with it, because I know He cares for me. Amen? Not because I'm worthy, but because Jesus shed His blood to purchase me. And the Father said, as many Amen. As many as I have loved and I have called. Amen. Literally, he said, Father, I want you to love them. In John 17, as we close, Father, this is my prayer for them. I want you to love them. You know how I'm in you and you're in me and we're one in each other. You know that mysterious but wonderful relationship of intimacy we share. It's what I'm praying for all them that believe on my name. Father, that you will love them with the same love that you love me. And that they may be one in us, just like I'm in you and you're in me. What a prayer for you and me. Now, I don't want this to be a condemning thing, because we all fight the fear that produces worry. But if we don't begin to fight against that, what we're accusing God of is that He is not worthy of our trust. I can't just go on and be happy after praying and committing things to Him. I can't believe that God will see to it, that He will take care of it. I can't have joy for my journey as long as this is unresolved. That meant for 30 years I tried to operate without joy. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I couldn't have made it 30 more days, let alone 30 years. The reason I was able to intercede is I came down here and worshiped God. Laid my head down at night, prayed for my son, but after praying for him, enjoyed my sleep. Can you say amen? Amen. Sat down at a meal. Actually, I bound him to my heart. And I said, I will not say grace over a meal that I eat, that I don't pray for the deliverance of my son. And we'd be sitting at Hardee's eating a hamburger. And the last thing I said wasn't amen, was it, Sister Venable? It was save and deliver my son until it happened. Praise God. But after I said save and deliver my son, I didn't grab my Maalox. I drank a Coke. Can you say amen? I didn't eat Tums behind my hamburger because I'm in a knot. What if God don't come through? What if the devil kills him? Get the what ifs out of there. God is faithful.
Amen.
And the devil is subject to him. Whatsoever is not of faith, why would it be sin? Because it accuses God of not being worthy of our trust. Does that mean you'll be fearless? Absolutely not. What time I'm afraid, I bring it back. I will trust in you. Does that mean I won't run to him when something threatens me? No, it means I will, and that's what he loves,
yes.
Making God our source. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous stand and declare their faith. No, they run to him, and they're what? They're safe. So David said, I don't just have a shield. You are my shield. Does that help explain the shield of faith in the New Testament? Faith's focus is God, not that force that comes alive in you. Because there's another force that comes alive in you. It's called fear. And only trusting God can conquer fear. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Amen. Commit thy way unto him. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to have joy and peace that passes understanding. I don't want you to carry burdens that are going to break you and not bring answers to your prayers, saith God. I've loved you like I loved ancient Israel with an everlasting love. My love is enforced towards you this day. Cry unto me, and I will answer you. But I'll answer you my way and in my time. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage and wait upon the Lord. And He will strengthen your heart that is so discouraged. And you will find new vibrance in your body when your mind no longer carries the burden and causes the stress. If you don't give it to God, you're going to get sicker. Stress is going to lower your resistance. You're going to break down mentally, physically. After a while, spiritually, it's going to start to affect you. And all the while, He is so deeply concerned with what is touching you. And because you know that, you can dare to go free from the prison house of fear and worry. And anxiety. I had anxiety attacks for 10 years. I slept with every light on. Because when it got dark, outside it got dark on the inside of me. I walked in the University Community Mall during the Christmas season. I used to just go walking just to get my mind off that was tormenting me. Fear tormented me as my nerves began to be so frayed and break down going through nervous exhaustion. I saw a man in a wheelchair. He had the use of one arm, and his head, his family was with him. He's motoring down the mall. And I was pumping iron back then. I was riding bike for miles. I had a tanned, toned, buff body. I looked like the picture of health. That was the outside. It was the outside. Sheila Walsh gave words of knowledge on CBN. God used her mightily. She had a singing ministry. She had an anointing. She had gifts flowing. She ended up in a mental ward of a hospital. Am I blaming her? No. I'm saying how, because circumstances come in people's lives, and having all these anointings and gifts and callings is not the same as having peace that passes understanding. In the time of pressure. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Listen to me. There's where she learned to trust. At the end of herself, there's where she learned how much God loved her. Not when she's on television giving words of knowledge to others, but when she's broken and battered and seemingly beaten, and yet God comes and He lifts her up. There's where she learned how much God cared and that none of this love was dependent on her performance and her having it together. Isn't it good to know you don't have to have it together to go before God? He cares about you. He loves you. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities and mine. And she comes through it as pure gold. And I'm going to tell you, Sheila's a better singer, better preacher, better woman right now, because she's talking about grace everywhere she turns and mercy and how God loves us. Can you say, man, just how much He loves us? Praise the Lord. That's why God wants you to know that. He don't want you to break. He wants you to refuse fear, reject it. He wants you to give the most precious people of your life to Him. And He wants you then to lift your hands and let Him lift your heart and give Him praise. Can you say amen? He loves you so much today. Amen. But you just can't continue. Now, my son's doctor, I'm going to be a doctor to you just a minute. My son's doctor told him a hard truth to help him to change. Sometimes it takes a hard truth to help anybody to change. One of the sins we accommodate is worry. We accommodate that sin because we justify it. Amen? There are people in here that wouldn't bow to Buddha, fat-bellied Buddha. You wouldn't bow down to that statue. You wouldn't bow to no other god. That's a sin you've refused to accommodate. It gives you a lot of power over it, too. Nobody could force you to do it. There are people in here who lay down their life where they'd bow to a false god. But there are sins that we accommodate because we don't see them as serious as they can become. Presumptuous sins. Amen. And worry. Entertaining anxiety and fear. And in the process, literally saying, God is not worthy. I had to face that. Going to get out of nervous exhaustion, you know what I had to face? I couldn't just get hands on me, get that spirit of worry out of me. I was the one causing the worry, not some demon from the netherworld. I was the one that wasn't trusting God. I had to fess up. I had to man up. Everybody say man up. The Bible said, quit you like men and be strong. Means act like men and women of God. I had to man up and say, I carried what I was supposed to give you, Lord. And before I could get free, I had to quit accusing God and questioning God. You know what I had to do? I had to repent. I said, Lord, I'm in the fix I'm in because I entertained the fear. I entertained the worry. I tried to hold the church together like this. And the tension of it, among other things, just broke me down. Lord, this isn't my church. This is your church. These aren't my sheep. These are your sheep. Oh, God, I'm glad they're your sheep. When they really get wrong with you, it ain't my job. I preach the word. It's your job. Amen. I mean, God knows how to get your attention, all of you sheep out here. Praise God. I don't have to come bother you. God can get your attention. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many knows He knows how to humble us down? But how many know He does it with great love for our souls? Praise God. You know what it took for my son to make a turn in his life? The doctor had to look him in the eye. If you keep drinking, it's going to kill you. That's what it took. And he's glad it happened. He said, I thank God He brought me to that place. So I didn't just drink myself to death. Go out of this world in that state. I thank God He brought me to such a place. That's maturity, even though he's just starting. Can you say amen? Well, I'm going to be a physician to you, tell you the truth. If you keep on entertaining fear and anxiety, it's not going to achieve victory for the people you care about. It's going to break you. You've got to give your kids to God. You've got to give your body to God, your life to God, your death to God, everything. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And then trust Him with it. See, it's in your hands. Can you say amen? It's not in mine. Sometimes instead of fasting, you need to go out and get a milkshake. Huh? No, there's a time to fast. But there's a time to just quit running as if I, you know, remember the prophets of Baal that cut themselves to try to get their God to listen? We don't have a God like that. You fast, bring it fast to bring this old flesh under control and this mind into discipline. Amen. But there's a time. Praise God. I remember a story of a preacher, and I got to quit. Time is way past time. Amen. The Baptists are done eating dessert right now, and the Methodists are already done eating, and the Episcopalians ate before they ate. Amen. So when we go to the Golden Corral, we can walk right in, sit right down. Listen to me. See it as sin. Treat it as sin. When imaginations come, cast them down. Praise God. Amen. When fear comes, run to God. Don't walk. Don't be tentative. Run to God in faith and say, Lord, I commit this to you. I can't handle it, and you know that. Minister had a budget so huge. Bunch of people committed to give, and they didn't fulfill their commitment. Duh. Amen. It's easy to say, I'll do it for a year. The 3 months go by and other things come up. But anyway, he was in trouble. He said, I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't think. I can't study because all of this is laying on me. his minister friend on the other end of the phone. He said, what do you love to do? If you could do anything you want to do today. She said, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been rebuking devils, he's been doing everything but commitment to God. Everything but commitment to God. No peace and no joy of the Lord has arrived yet. Listen, when you commit it to God, peace floods the soul and mind. And the joy of knowing God's in control, you just want to shout hallelujah at the end of your prayer. He said, what would you like to do if you could do anything? He said, he looked out the window of his office. It's a beautiful autumn day. He said, they lived where there was hills, foothills of mountains. He said, I would love, he said, I've got a 57 Chevrolet that I've restored. He said, I would love to just go get in my 57 Chevrolet and just go driving through those hills carefree. He said, you know what? He said, I want you to go get in your Chevy. I want you to go drive. He said, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to intercede for you. God is going to take care of it. And I want you to give it to God enough to go have a good time. Now that you've prayed, you've fasted, you've stood on the word and rebuked the devil, it's time to do something else. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and nothing happened. So they really got agonizing in prayer. And nothing happened. So they begin to bind the demon forces over the jail. No, and nothing happened. So they begin to bind demon forces over the city. No, nothing happened. Amen. And they begin to stand and confess the word. Amen. For hours on end. And nothing. No. They prayed. And what did they do next? They what? They prayed and sang praises to God. What happened while they were not praying, but while they were thanking him, amen, and trusting him enough to give him glory and honor without anything happening? Hallelujah, praising him because he bends down and listens when we pray. And whether we live or die from that point, it's all in God's hands. Hallelujah. Not the devil's, not in the jailer's, not in Caesar's Rome. Hallelujah. While they were singing praises, an earthquake came. But it wasn't. It didn't shake everywhere. It only shook one place. Amen. It shook that jailhouse. Hallelujah. And it shook it. It shook it so hard. Amen. That the, listen. The doors sprung open of their own accord. And everybody in the prison walked out. Not just the Christians, but everybody, the thieves and the robbers and the pimps and everybody, and the pushers. Everybody say the Christians, the thieves, the robbers, the pimps. You think they didn't have any back then? Honey, that's the world's oldest profession. Can you say amen? And the pushers. But nobody run off. The jailer said, they're going to have my hide. They're going to kill me for letting y'all go. Paul said, we ain't gone. We're all here. Everybody say the Christians. The pimps. The pushers. The thieves. And the robbers. Nobody run for the hills. We're all here. What in the world kept them all there with the jail open? Because they saw an answer to prayer. They saw God come through. They saw two Jewish boys pray and praise their God at midnight. And God opened that prison up. And they said, we're going to stay right here. Can you say amen? God is on the move. Wouldn't it be something if we could see something more than a church that's beat down, battered, and bruised, that we could see a church that's praising God, walking in victory, so God can come through. Save our children. Heal our land. Help us in the time of trouble. Because we deem him trustworthy enough to praise him with everything we got. Because he's faithful. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? It's late. I realize that. But my son just got saved. Cut me some slack. I've been praying 30 years and interceding, and God has come through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm 63, but right now I don't feel like it. I'll have to wait till I get home to feel like it. When you say amen, but I don't feel no ways tired right now. Praise God. God's been good to me. Hallelujah. He bends down and listens. I can give him my life, my problems, my pressures, because I know how much he cares for me. If you really believe he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7 is yours to either obey or disobey. Today, not tomorrow, next month, today. Cast all of your care once and for all upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Give it to him so the word can work in your life, so your prayers can be answered. Declare him trustworthy. The preacher said, it's the oddest thing I've ever done in my life before the answer came, is to go out and get in my 57 Chevy, put in a praise tape, and drive through the foothills looking at God's goodness and his creation and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. So when he got back to his office, there's a letter on his desk, the mail had run. Just like with us, there's a check in the letter. And he didn't get it while agonizing. He got it while thanking God for his goodness and demonstrating his faith by just being carefree for a little while after he committed to God. I call it holy carelessness, casting all your care upon him. He cares for you. I believe we're going to see victories. If we praise God before the fact, we find joy and peace before anything changes, because God is listening and God is with us. I believe we're going to see breakthroughs and victories like we have never seen. It's begun in my life. I know it can work in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you bow your head? Father, in this room, we all have burdens. We all have unbelievable stress that's being brought to bear upon each of our lives. It has the potential, unchecked and unresolved, to choke your word and to cause all these great promises and all these principles and this great person we're to focus on to choke that out of our life and leave us vulnerable to the fear that strangles the faith, the joy of living, the peace completely out of us. And then our poor old mortal bodies that wasn't designed for the stress that is sustained, they begin to break down the immune system. And then we become susceptible to things. Not because you're not a healer, but because we have opened the door to fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us power through our prayers and our faith. He gave us love, unconditional. And he gave us a sound mind, a mind that can be disciplined and directed to God instead of the what ifs, the uncertainties of life. Because once we give it to God, there are no what ifs, there are no uncertainties. God takes full and absolute control because he cares for us. Lord, I pray as people begin to do this that you'll help them. Holy Spirit will come alongside to help. I need help with this. This is not easy. Fear is everywhere you turn. But faith is consistent because you're faithful. I feel those burdens right now. I feel the brooding of the Spirit. He wants to lift them from you. He wants to lift them from you. He wants to lift them from you. Is there anyone in this audience that don't know Christ? You can't give all of that bothers you to him because you don't know him. May I see your hand quickly? Just lift it up and take it down. Anyone here? Anyone here that's away from the Lord and you realize you can't dwell under the covert of his wings because You're out doing your own thing, but that's stopping today. You need Him. And no one can help you like Him, and you realize that, and you're coming home to Him. Anyone in this room coming back to God today? All right? Anyone in this room that wants the Holy Spirit to help you to cast your care on Him? Let me see your hand. You want the Holy Spirit to help you to cast your care upon Him. That's what He's looking for. That's what the Holy Ghost is here for. He's one called alongside to help. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You have something. Let's just worship Him for a moment. If you have to go, you may. Did you get anything? Were you challenged today in this service? Praise God. Do you want to see your children saved? Amen. Do you want to get your body healed? Amen. Do you want your troubled mind to know peace tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.